So we're doing a quick review of the daf. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom, Chaf Amud Beis, and the Mishnah said, if you find an object in a wall that fell down or an old wall, you could keep it. So the Gemara explains the idea is that he could tell him, who said it's yours? He could tell the landlord. You're renting a house, you find something in the wall, maybe it's from the people who were here before we even came to the country, the Emorim, who used to hide things in the wall. The Gemara says, wait a second, who says? But maybe the owner used it. So he says, no, it's rusty. You see that it's old. So he tells him it's ancient. Do I know if it's yours or the guy who owned the house before you? So if it's an old wall and you see that it the object is all rusty, so he says, you can keep it. You know, it's been there for ages. You don't know whose it is, so the guy could keep it. We said if he finds it in a new wall, so it depends on which half of the wall. If it's on the outer half that's towards the Shusharabim, so then the guy could keep it. If it's on the inner half that's towards the house, so then it belongs to the owner of the house because it's a new wall. So the guy says, I put stuff in my wall. So Rav Ashi said that there are objects where you could identify from what angle it was put in. You have a knife, you hold the knife by the handle. So if you see the handle is facing inward, even if it's in the outer half, you say, the guy put it, the owner of the house put it in. So those are examples, the things that you could tell from the way they're held, by which, from where it was put in, so that defines it. We don't care what half of the wall is.
Then if the wall's full.
What? Now what happens if the wall is full? So they divide it. Well, the chiddush in that is that even if the wall's on a slant, and you might say, well, all of it fit in one half, and now it's lying half and half, we don't take that into account. We say, right now you found it filling up the wall, so you divide it. We said that if it's a house that's rented, it's like an inn, there are people who are multiple people who lived in the house, so then the guy who finds it can keep it. So the Gemara says, why do we say that? Why don't we assume that everyone who leaves the house that they rent cleans out the house, they see there's nothing there. If you find something, so you have to assume the last guy who was there left it there. So the Gemara brings a proof to that concept. We know that in Yerushalayim people used to bring their money, that miser money that has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, that's they buy meat with it. So let's say you find money by the meat, the butchers, so you have to assume it's miser, because everyone used to buy meat in Yerushalayim, that's what they did with their miser money. If it's on Harabayis, so Harabayis you could assume is chulin, because primarily the money that's around there is chulin. We say that's what fell over here. In Yerushalayim, we say it depends. On the regel, so we assume it's meiser. If it's the rest of the year, we say it's chulin. And the logic behind it is that even though you say, but yesterday was the regel, we say, yeah, but Yerushalayim is constantly cleaned. So that being that they have workers cleaning the streets all the time, you assume that whatever was dropped yesterday was clean, and what you're finding today is from today. So you see that we use that concept, that a place that's ordinarily cleaned, you assume it was just lost there recently. So by the same token, the apartment is usually clean. Everyone that leaves the hotel room checks out the hotel room before they leave. So why do we say that if it's a room that's constantly rented, he could keep it because you don't know whose it is? So Reish Lakish gives an answer. He quotes Bar Kafra. He says, we're talking about a situation where there were three people renting it simultaneously. Three Jews renting. Mm-hmm. It was some kind of inn. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If it's three Jews, then why are you telling me it's Hefker? Why are you telling me he could keep it? Because if a guy loses it, he assumes someone else already walked off with it. So then that's the rule of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. From here we see a fascinating thing. That Rav Shimon ben Elazar, when he said, if you lose something in a busy area, you give up on that object, it would seem even three. Now that doesn't really sit well. So maybe we have to say that there's a different logic here, and we'll apply the logic we'll see in Amud Beis. That when you have specific people with you, you know that one of them found it, you assume one of them found it, so then you're Miyash. But that would seem to be that the Gemara is equating that with Rav Shimon ben Elazar's din, but we'll discuss that when we learn it inside. So the Gemara says that maybe from here I see that Rav Shimon ben Elazar said his din, that in a hustling, bustling place, you assume it's a goner, you're Miyash. Even if it's Jews that are located there. So Rav Menashe ben Yaakov says, no, maybe we'll say that there were three non-Jews in the inn at the same time. Rav Nachman says in the name of Rabbi Bar Avuah, he says, no. The logic why he's Miyash is not because of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, but rather the person thinks, wait a second, it was only us three. and neither one of them is admitting that they found it. So one of them is a liar, one of them is a thief, I don't know who, but I have no way of getting it out of them. So that's why he's Miyash. He says, if they would have wanted to give me, they would have given me. They're not giving it to me. So obviously they're thieves, that there's nothing I could do. And Rav Nachman, that's really his reasoning. Rav Nachman said a different din that's an application of this reasoning. Rav Nachman said, returning to Amud Beis, if a person saw two people walking together, and the two people are, let's say, they share an apartment, or they're walking together, and one of them drops a coin. So he has to give it back to them. Why? Because the guy who dropped it is not Miyash. He says, it's only me and him, so I'll get it back. I'll demand it of him. And I could demand it of him, Rashi says, with a shvuah. Being that it's only me and him, I'll say, I don't have it. I had it a minute ago. It's nowhere to be found. You must have it. I know you have it. And that's, he said, I'm being tovah. He's kofer akol. So there's a shvuah drabon and a shvuah heses. When I demand something and the other guy denies it completely, so Chazal instituted a shvuah called shvuah tesit. So in that instance, the guy is not Miyash. What happens if there are three people together? So then we say he is Miyash. You don't have to give it back. Why? Because the guy says, there are three of us here. So who's got it? Everyone's going to say, I don't have it. And then maybe it's the other guy. I have no way of making a demand, and I can't even be bari. I can't make a strong claim, so I can't demand the shvuah seses. So the guy is Miyash. Now that we finished that, so let's just sum up what we just say. We said, why is it that when the apartment is rented, that you can keep the object that you find there? So we said, either because there were three Jews at the same time, or three non-Jews at the same time. If there were three Jews, it's either because it's Rav Shimon ben Elazar, or because of this concept of Rav Nachman's, that when there are only three of us here, so the person is Miyai. She says, if they want to steal me, I have no way of getting it out of them. Back to the Gemara. Rava says, this rule of Rav Nachman's, that if there are three people together, the guy's Miyash and you could keep it, that's provided that it isn't a scenario where they trust one another. Meaning if we're partners, we each trust one another to deal with the cash register. All three of us run a store. So we trust one another. So if I leave my wallet on the countertop and I come back and it's not there, I assume maybe one of the partners took it and they're teasing me. Maybe they're just playing game with me. I don't think they're going to keep my money. I trust them with the cash register. So Rava says about Rav Nachman's din, he says, this concept that when there's three, then one assumes the other one's stealing him. Someone here is a thief. And then he's Miyash. That's only true in a situation where they don't mistrust one another. But if there's enough money there, let's say there are three prutas there, so then we say, you do have to give it back because maybe they're partners and then he's not Miyash. Maybe they all own that money together. One of them, so when I leave the money from the cash register, I leave three prutas or I drop three prutas from my pocket. I check my pocket and I'm missing it. I'm not Miyash. I say maybe it's the three of us in the store. One of them picked it up and they're holding on to it. So I'm not Miyash. Some say that Rava said even if there's only two pruta worth, because Rava said maybe we're all partners, and one of them gave up his partnership in these two prutas. Rava taught us another halacha, and now Rava goes into the laws of Hashavas Aveda. There are three psukim, really. There are three mitzvot. The Torah says, Lo tigzol, you're not allowed to steal. So that means I can't take an object that belongs to someone else. And even if someone drops that object, I can't take it. That's Lo tigzol. The second is, Lo tuchal leitalem. If I see a lost object, so I'm not allowed to walk away from it. And the third is, I have a mitzvah to say, Hashev Teshivim, to give back an object that was lost. So now what happens if someone sees a person drops a coin, falls out of someone's pocket, and Yishalomidas, he doesn't even know that it fell. You're sitting behind the guy on the bus, a 10 shekel piece falls out of his pocket and lands in your hand, or on your foot. Now, he doesn't yet know he dropped it. He's not Miyash. Yishalomidas, we passing like Abaye, lo aviyish. So now, that object has to be returned. It's an Aveda. So I know who lost it. The halacha is I can't take it, and if I do, I'm over on all three. I'm over on Lo Sigzo, because that's thievery. I'm over on Lo Sucha Le Salem, because I have a mitzvah to give it back. And the mitzvah sasei of Hashem Teshivim, I have to give it back. Let's finish till the Mishnah. Yeah, okay. Let's just finish. Okay, so that was the first halacha that Rava told us. Let's say he takes it and he's thinking, I'll give back the Aveda. And then he hears the guy says, oy vey, I lost my money. The guy's miyash. So then he says, okay, I'll keep it. So when he picked it up, he wasn't over on lo sucha leisalin because he picked it up to do Ashav Saveda. He wasn't over on Gezel because he took it to give it to him. Now that the guy's miyash, so then he's over on Hashav Teshivet. Let's say he saw it lying on the floor and he figures, I won't pick it up till I hear him give up on it. So then he's not picking it up, he's over on lo sucha leisalin. The Torah says, don't ignore it. Don't wait. Pick it up and give it back to him. He's waiting. He wants to hear the guy says, shucks, I lost my money, and then I'll take it and keep it for himself. So he's still over on Losu Chalei Salim. Rava tells us another din, if you're playing with your kids in the sandbox, and someone else is playing with in the sandbox, and they drop money in the sand, and you find it, so you could keep it. Even though you see the guy coming with a sifter, he wants to sift the sand, because in the sandbox he knows it's lost. He's thinking, if I don't find my money, I'll find someone else's money. People lose money here. But the truth is, he's misyash right away when he drops. And that brings us to the Mishnah on Chof Vav Amud Beis.